WBAI New York and WBAI.org by way of the internet. You've just heard Labrish with Haptah Selassie will be back next week following the work of the Midnight Ravers. It is 5 a.m. and time for Back of the Book. Where are you? Back.
Oh, man. That's not good.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
Predict that it is most probably about 5 a.m. and you're listening to all. This is a midwinter program radio, WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about a few things here on this radio program, and you can find out a bit more about this stuff by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com, where you can look around at things. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left side of your screen. At the top, it will say, Latest Back of the Book Program Links. Click on that, and you'll get to the webpage for this morning's radio program. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 122nd pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but we have to do it this way in these dangerous times. The top story throughout the entire Milky Way galaxy of this past week is, we are still clinging to the huge population of 120 followers on Twitter. From what people are telling me on Twitter, the problem I'm having with images not fully loading there automatically is probably the result of some change I made to my settings. I've gone over those settings a number of times, and I can't see what I can do to get the images back to normal. We'll figure it out one year. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, February 8th, 2023 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 668,551,701 on Friday, and global deaths reached 6,737,581. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 101,976,141. And the death toll in America had reached 1,103,778. So 3,989 people have died of COVID-19 in America in the last week, which is hundreds more deaths than the previous week. The pandemic is not over. Pickles of the North and I are still keeping our masks on. We've both gotten our bivalent vaccinations. We are not among those who are saying that getting a COVID-19 infection is like getting a cold. Meanwhile, people who are opposed to vaccines of any kind are still preaching their pseudoscience and probably causing even more unnecessary deaths. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course. This was all mostly preventable. In a sad note, we have to report that former WBAI producer Bill Farrar passed away this past week. He was 82 years old. Born 1940 and he died in 2023. Among other things, Bill Farrar taught English at Wingate High School in Brooklyn, where my male ex also taught. They were quite surprised to see each other at WBAI in 1979 or 80. Yeah, Bill did a jazz show here at WBAI. I think he had a bit of a shock there when he found out that my male ex was a member of the collective that was doing Gay Rap, the weekly program for and about the gay male community. He hadn't known that my male ex was gay yet. So, surprise! Anyway, so he was a good guy. He did a jazz program. Some of you may remember him. And again, he has passed away at the age of 82, and we don't have any more information than that. And as we've noted, we record this program on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. And as of Friday morning at 10:52 a.m., we entered the midwinter subseason, astronomically speaking. The minute of midwinter will occur on February 3rd, 2023 at 6:48 in the morning. And yes, we keep track of these things. On my website, I have all of this written down, and you can go there and look at that if you want. And I'm glad to say, of course, sunsets are getting later. I really dislike it when the sun is setting earlier than 7 o'clock in the evening. It's still doing that, but at least it's not setting before 4:30 in the afternoon. Ugh. And right now, on Saturday, when you hear this program, the sun will set at 4:59 p.m. So, oh boy, the next day it's going to set at 5:01 p.m. Oh boy, at least it'll be 5 o'clock in the afternoon when the sun will set. Better than half an hour earlier.
And also, this evening will be the Lunar New Year's Eve. And Sunday, it will be the Year of the Rabbit. So if you celebrate, celebrate! Have some delicious food, go out, meet your friends, and just have a good time.
And eat a rabbit if you can find one.
Oh!
Come here, bunny. Speaking of celebrating, Pickles and I are having our celebration at this point, pretty much. We had our 17th wedding anniversary this past Wednesday, and tomorrow, Sunday, will be the 26th anniversary of our relationship. Oh, my godlessness.
Wow. And they said it wouldn't last. No one said that. And now it's time for another Pickles Picks, where we go back into the vault of back of the book and to pick out some of my favorite bits.
We have a vault? This is from some years ago, and quite a few of you probably never heard this one, and it's gonna be about fishing. No, not nuclear fishing, but going fishing. Pickles found an article about Macy's sponsoring a fishing thing in Prospect Park. And basically, people are supposed to go fishing in Prospect Park Lake, and they have a prize, and all, or a couple of prizes, right?
Yeah, for different kind of size fish and things like that. Yep, they have to release all the fish, though, once they catch.
Yeah, it's a catch and release deal. So I was talking to her about going fishing in Prospect Park Lake when I was a kid. She said I should at least mention this on the air. And yeah, I mean, this is a program. I wasn't in the program. I didn't go and compete in this thing.
Yeah, because it started the year you were born.
Yeah. 1812.
Yes.
We were in there, and, you know, yeah. we would go fishing, and you had to watch out for the pterodactyls in those days because they would come flying over and grab the fish and fly away. Anyway, so, yeah, I remember it. I was like 6 or 7, and the old man got me a fishing pole, a little fishing kit. And it was for a little kid, and it was not a real size one. It was a small size one for a kid. And I remember it had a black, probably, I don't know what the rod was made out of. It was maybe, I don't think, it might have been wood. It was a dark green. It might have been just wood, or it might have been a plastic-coated wood. I don't know. This is from many years ago, people. And so it was, you know, I could see it now. It had this greenish, dark green painted rod. And it had a little reel that was very minimalist, very basic. And it was all, like, very downsized for a little kid. The only place we know to go fishing is Prospect Park Lake. So the old man brings me up there. And we stand on the edge of Prospect Park Lake, which is artificial, by the way. Prospect Park is overwhelmingly artificial. It was done by Olmsted, who did Central Park. And he corrected his mistakes from Central Park and Prospect Park, which is why Prospect is a much superior park to Central Park. Anyway, so it was the summertime. It was probably July. And I remember standing in the sun out there. You know, my mother's there too. And the whole family's there. The old man says, now you do it like this. You put the, I mean, I thought, you know, I'd seen cartoons. I thought you put a hook on the end of the thing, and you put a worm on that, you just throw it in. Nah, it's a little more complicated. The old man said, you need a sinker. It's a little lead sinker, which is basically a weight, because if you just throw it in, the hook and the bait just float on top of the water. They don't weigh enough to go under. And line wasn't any kind of fancy line. It was like, it was almost like thread. It was pretty much like, you know, the thread you would sew with. It wasn't plastic. It was cloth. And it was, you know, pretty thin stuff. And so, you know, the old man says, you need a sinker. And then we also had to get floaters, which was bizarre to me. We're putting in a thing that makes it go down, and we're also putting in a thing that keeps it up. And basically, of course, now I understand the concept of this makes it so you can get the line out into the water a ways. And you throw it out into the water, and the sinker keeps it down under the water and keeps the hook down under the water. And the floater does two things. One, it keeps the whole thing floating out over the water instead of just going down to the bottom, onto the bottom of the lake. And also, if something bites, the floater will bob up and down. I can see it now. It was spherical, and it was red and white. The bottom was red. The top was white. It had a push button in it. And you push the button, the little hook thing came out, and you hooked that onto your line, and then you let go, and the spring caught it up. And so the floater stayed pretty much most of the time where you put it, although sometimes it would drift a bit. And so, you know, this whole contraption would be out into this Prospect Park Lake. I never caught a thing in the Prospect Park Lake. We went there a couple of times at least, and we spent hours out there getting sunburned because nobody wore a hat. And we're getting sunburned. The old man's out there, and, you know, he's doing it this way. Then he'd try. and stand there and do nothing with the, yeah, okay. And for me, you know, I was starting to lose interest because, you know, you're a kid, you don't have that much of an attention span to stand there doing this stuff and nothing's happening. You know, you're putting effort into it and getting no reward. So we were there, and I remember the final time we went up there, the old man wanted a cast. So, you know, the old man's an adult, and he's using this little kid's thing, and he's casting it out there. And it goes out, and nothing happens, so he reels it in. And then he says, I guess he figured he'd really do a good cast this time. So when you're casting, you whip back the reel, and then you whip it forward. And the sinker will take it out and, you know, take the line out to a pretty far distance into the water. So the old man whips it back, whips it forward, and nothing happens. And we look, and he's managed to catch it on some wires that passed overhead. And, oh, man, so we ended up losing the hook and the sinker. And I don't know if we also lost a floater that time and a significant amount of line out of it. And that was it. And, oh, it was a sad day. However, at other times, we went other places. And we went out. We used to go out to Staten Island. We used to go out to Staten Island to a specific place that people went to fish. You would go there. You would rent a boat. They would sell you some bait. And you would go out fishing. And we did that. And my father and my uncle and I would go out in a boat, in a rowboat, and we'd row out a ways. You would row out, and you would start fishing. And after a while, you know, my father got his own fishing stuff. My uncle had some fishing stuff. After a while, I decided that I didn't like my little rinky-dink thing because it was the reel really wasn't made to work well, and, you know, it would fall apart. So I decided a drop line was the way I liked to fish. And so a drop line is simply a rather stout little line that's on a wooden form, and it wraps around. So basically you take the drop line, and since you're in a rowboat, you don't need a floater. And you put the sinker on, you put the fish hook on, you bait the fish hook, and you just throw the stuff overboard, and you let out this line. And so you're sitting there now. The boat is the floater. And you're sitting there now with the line in your hand, and you have this wooden form. It's basically what you wrap the line around. And you sit there and you fish. And that's the way I ended up preferring to fish, because it was simpler. Even in those days, I was sort of being minimalist. Speaking of minimalist and fishing,
at this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin.
So we would go out there. Now, I remember one time we were visiting upstate New York. In fact, there's a photograph of me up on the website from that visit. We were visiting relatives in upstate New York, and we went fishing, and we went out, and we were catching fish. We actually caught fish, and we went out, we caught fish in this rowboat. I guess it was on the Hudson River. So we were all out there, and I discovered that in those circumstances, it was really an excuse for the guys to get in a boat, get away from their wives, and drink a lot of beer. You know, as a kid, I got used to having beer around a lot. And I would sip some a little bit when I was a kid. Ooh, it tasted really great when I was a kid. And the great thing, beer and American cheese. The two of those together were like amazingly stimulating to me. They were like, wow, you know, a little bit of a sip of Ballantine beer and a little bit of, you know, a bite of American cheese, and like the taste buds just lit up. Pickles is laughing at this.
I'm smiling.
And so anyway, you know, they would go out there and do all that stuff. At other times, of course, we would just go out, my father, my uncle, and me, we would go out to Staten Island and we would row the boat. Well, and what we would do, we would catch fluke and flounder, which means we were getting close to the bottom of the harbor with that. Well, they wanted to go out and catch some bigger fish, so we were rowing and rowing. One time, it was rainy, but they said, the fish will really bite now. And, of course, to do this, we would get up at like 3:30 in the morning. And this was the year my old man had a car.
So we would get up at 3:30 in the morning, and by 4 o'clock, we're going over to pick up Uncle Larry, and we would get him in the car with all his fish and junk, and we would take off, and we would go to Staten Island. We took the ferry, of course. There was no bridge yet. So we would take the ferry. In those days, the Staten Island ferry took cars. That's how you got to Staten Island. And so we would drive into Manhattan, go over to Brooklyn Bridge, come on down to the ferry, pay, I don't know if it was a nickel or 25 cents for a car, drive the car on, and the ferry would chug us across the harbor to Staten Island. We would go to St. George's. We would drive off there and drive down to the middle of Staten Island. Now, Staten Island was not a built-up place in those days because you could hardly get to it. And so in the middle of Staten Island, it was natural. It was just a salt marsh for the most part. A great deal of Staten Island was nothing but a salt marsh in those days. So we would go down there, and this little place on the harbor side, the eastern side of Staten Island, we would go in there, and they were up early in the morning. So when we arrived at like 5 o'clock in the morning, it was the middle of their day because they made their living off fisher people. And so we would go in there, and some guys would go there and drive in with an outboard motor that they would attach to the rowboat, and they would take off and really go out. Of course, other people stored their own boats in that area. And, I mean, it wasn't like a marina. It wasn't built up. It had a wooden dock, and it was just a little inlet in Staten Island. It was nothing formal whatsoever. It was a very natural-looking coastline. In fact, I dare say this bit of coastline probably looked pretty much, if not exactly, the way it looked when the Dutch had come here 300 years earlier. Anyway, we would, you know, row out, and one day it was really raining, and it was pretty bad out there. But my father and my uncle are saying, their wives are telling them, it's raining now. Don't go out. And they said, no, it's going to be great. The fish will really bite today. So we go out, and we go out a ways, and the water is rough. It's choppy. And I get to sit in the back of the boat, and my father and my uncle take turns rowing. And I'm sitting in the back of the boat, and the swells are coming in, and the boat's going up and down. I'm saying, oh, this is interesting. I'm like 8 or 9 years old, and the swells are getting pretty big, and they come in, and we go down. Well, they decide we really have to go out a ways to get some fish. So we're rowing. They're rowing. And they're rowing, and they're really putting effort into this. We go out, and they figure, why do it in the harbor? Go out beyond New York Harbor into the Atlantic Ocean. Now, New York Harbor can get a bit rough, but you have the Rockaway Peninsula and the Jersey Shore shielding the harbor of New York. That's why it's such a good harbor, because the rough water doesn't get in very much. However, once you get out past the Jersey Shore and the Rockaway Peninsula, you're in the real live Atlantic Ocean, which in rough weather is rough. It has a certain reputation for things like sinking ships. They're pulling, they're rowing, and we're going out into the Atlantic Ocean here. And, you know, it's not like we went halfway to England or something. Although the old man said, you know, yeah, I mean, they rent us the boat for, I think it's something on the order of 12 hours. And in that time, they don't care if you row to England, you know, which I said, no, you couldn't do that, could you? No, he was just saying that. But remember, I'm a kid, so I'm thinking, wow, rowing to England, gee. You know, I mean, kids don't necessarily calculate these things and see what's practical. So we are rowing out. We're really out there. We're now out in the Atlantic Ocean, and the waves are coming in, and we really shouldn't have been there in this rinky-dink little boat that's like 7 feet long and made of wood and has a freeboard, which is the side that the boat has about a foot of wood above the water, okay? Where the oar lock goes, the top of, it's called the gunnels. Where that is only about a foot above the water. And some of the water, some of these swells, are above our heads. And we're riding them, and we're okay. Now that we're out there, though, they got to watch out, because you got to be careful if the boat doesn't take one of the swells sideways, because that can turn you over. You can get capsized. So we're out there, and at one point, we're backwards. The stern of the little boat is there, and I'm in the stern, and we have the stern of the boat to the swell, and it comes in, and it breaks. It breaks over the back, and I'm sitting there. I got drenched, and I'm just wearing a sweater because it's summertime. And we thought to bring a sweater because we knew that we got out there sometimes in the early morning hours. It can get a little bit cold. You can always take your sweater off. So I'm out there in my sweater, and boom, I get hit with a wave. I go, whoa. And so we're out there. So they row out a little more, and we're out there. We're trying to fish, and the boat is rocking like crazy. And we look a ways, and I say, oh, look at that. It's a tanker. And it's this big tanker ship. And so we're out there. Yeah, I said, gee, that looks like it's coming right towards where we are. The old man says, don't be stupid. It ain't coming here. They go another way. And the uncle says, no, they don't come over here. The tankers don't come over here. So we're there, and the thing is splashing us around. And I say, geez, it's really coming. Like, it looks like it's going to come through here. No, so the two of them are just telling me, no, don't be stupid, you know. Stop it. You're scaring the fish. You know, that's why we're not catching fish, because I'm saying it looks like the tanker is coming towards us. So we're bobbing about this little boat on the Atlantic Ocean, and the swells come in, and they have to struggle to get the bow of the little boat into the swells so that we ride them instead of getting hit by them. And this is interfering with them fishing, because they have to put down a reel and go there, and they got to watch out because the reels and rods can go over the side really easily. With my drop line, I have no problem, you know. It's just a little string with a thing on the end of it, so I have no problem with that. And we're there, and it's 15 minutes later, I said, boy, that really looks like that thing's going to come through right here. You know, and they're looking at it, and now they're looking at it, and they're not telling me stop being stupid anymore. And, you know, they're looking at that thing, and they're not tending to their fishing rods anymore. They're looking at the ship while they're rowing, trying to keep us into the, you know, pointed with the bow of the boat into the swells. And Uncle Larry says, you know, I think we might want to move a little. And so they start trying to figure out how to move in these swells. Meanwhile, this tanker is getting closer, and it's a big ship. And I don't think they can see our little boat. And so we're there, and basically we rowed so that we ended up about 100 or 200 feet away from the tanker, which is like really damn close when you're in the middle of, you know, all this. It's very close. And it was because they were, you know, they were getting at it away. And in my opinion, still, it went right over a spot where we had been before they started rowing rather vigorously. And we didn't catch any. I don't think we caught a single fish that day. And we came back, and my father and his brother, my uncle, were rather chagrined as I'm telling my mother the tale of getting hit with the wave as it broke over the back and, you know, back in a boat and almost getting hit by the, you know, run over by the tanker ship. And, oh, man, they were, oh, no, it wasn't that close. It was, you know, nothing. It meant nothing. They would have swerved anyway, you know, so that was our, I'm not sure but that may have been the last time we went out fishing in Staten Island.
Yeah, we almost got run over by a tanker, and it went right past us, and we're watching the huge sides of this giant ship going by 100 or 200 feet away. And, oh, man, it was very interesting in my young life to see something like that happening. And, oh, people tried to forget it in the family after that. But for a while when I was a kid, I kept reminding them.
Good for you, Arpal. When things happen in families, people should own them. It's like right now in my family, where my dad just had neurosurgery mere days ago, and my parents are trying to pretend, oh, it was just a little procedure. No, it wasn't just a little procedure. I believe a Sunday he's going to get I don't know how many staples pulled out of his head. Holy cow. How did they think they got in there to get the get to the bleeding? You know, they put a little needle in? No. I tell you, I wish I could be strolling down memory lane more about the times when I was a kid with my parents, because right now they are just driving me crazy. They're driving us all crazy, my brothers and I. Trying to get people to realize it's okay to ask for help when you're older, especially when you're in your 90s. It's okay. You don't have to, like, declare your independence by living in a house that ain't safe for you anymore. I'm sure many of our listeners, our older listeners, have gone through this with their parents. So somehow the tanker adventure doesn't seem that bad to me. But maybe I'm just in a frazzled state right now.
And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. And in the past couple of weeks, Pentagon intelligence officials acknowledged 510 reports of unidentified flying objects as of August 30th. According to a newly declassified report by the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, that's some off. Where do you work? I work in the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. Oh, that. Anyway, according to that, a lot of these UAP reports were reported by military pilots, which is supposed to give them more credibility. And in some cases, quote, in restricted or sensitive airspace, highlighting possible concerns for safety of flight or adversary collection activity, unquote. And most of these reports are recent. So this is about the UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena, used to be UFOs, but we can't say UFOs anymore. No, you can't say that. We're the government, damn it. Anyway, so this is in response to that. We've seen these very interesting shots from high-performance aircraft that are saying, we got a thing in front of us. We can't tell what the hell that is. And when we try to catch it, with the afterburners going, we can't catch the goddamn thing. And so they're taking this very seriously now. They don't know what the hell it is. And, one hopes it's some American Skunk Works thing going on and not Russia or China sending over some sort of aircraft that we can't even guess about. And in Wisconsin, Republican legislators voted recently to strike a rule protecting LGBT plus infinity youth from so-called, quote, conversion therapy, unquote. The Wisconsin State Journal reports that the Republican-led Joint Committee on Administrative Rules voted 6-4 along party lines to repeal the ban. That's really bad stuff. Jeez. The Wisconsin Legislative LGBT Plus Infinity Caucus released a statement saying, quote, "Once again, Republican legislators have demonstrated that they will put politics over people and allow young people in Wisconsin to be hurt by those who should be helping them thrive," unquote. The ban, which had barred mental health professionals from attempting to change a person's sexual orientation or gender identity, had been blocked by Republicans until the end of 2022. And now they're voting to get rid of it entirely. In the United States, efforts to convert, quote-unquote, LGBT plus infinity people are opposed by professional medical associations, including the American Medical Association, the American Psychological Association, and the American Academy of Pediatrics. The United Nations Human Rights Office has advocated for a global ban on so-called conversion therapy, calling it, quote, "an egregious violation of rights to bodily autonomy, health, and free expression of one's sexual orientation and gender identity," unquote. I've known people who've been through stuff like this, not the more recent way of doing it, but stuff from years ago. I knew people who in the 40s and 50s, when they were very young, were subjected to going to shrinks in those days and being told, "You can't be queer. You don't look queer to me, and now we'll cure you." And some of those people ended up with electroshock therapy. Oh, God. Electroshock therapy in the 40s. Man, you are like in such a deep pit because there's nobody around who's going to say, "This isn't right." There isn't anybody around who's even going to do anything other than say, "Oh, good, we hope you get cured of being queer." So this is a very bad thing. And Wisconsin, Jesus H. Christ, what a bunch of bad Republicans. And Donnie Bonespur Trump is back in the news. Oh, he's always in the news. He's promoting himself like crazy. He's not promoting very well right now, however. Yes, Donnie Bonespur Trump dropped his lawsuit against New York Attorney General Letitia James yesterday, right after U.S. District Judge Middlebrooks fined Trump and his lawyer just short of $1 million for filing baseless, quote, "revenge lawsuits," unquote, against his perceived enemies. The judge wrote in his opinion that, quote, "Here we are confronted with a lawsuit that should never have been filed, which was completely frivolous, both factually and legally, and which was brought in bad faith for an improper purpose," unquote. Oh, man, that's quite a thing for the judge to say about your lawsuit. And Judge Middlebrooks continued, quote, "This litigation has all the telltale signs of being both vexatious and frivolous," unquote. Yes, this is to add into that other part. I don't think he liked the lawsuit. And the judge said that, quote, "Trump misrepresented and cherry-picked portions of public reports and filings to support a false factual narrative. It happened too often to be accidental. Its purpose was political, not legal," unquote. That is what so much of this creep Trump does. And political as opposed to legal. They misuse the legal system like crazy. So, Jesus H. Christ, I'm glad he got nailed with that. Let's see him try to wiggle out of this. He and his lawyers. The lawyers get nailed, too, because lawyers, if they do stuff that's really bad, well, if you have a client who's demanding you do stuff like that, you're supposed to say, "I'm sorry, we no longer have a business relationship. As a lawyer, you can't make believe, oh, I was only following orders. You can only do that for a certain degree. And when it's this bad, yeah, either you somehow got out with a law degree and maybe you don't deserve one, or you're screwing around taking the money and you don't care that you're messing with the law. And among people who care about the law, it's very bad to mess with it. And some of those legal people really care about the law. So, yes, I'm glad he got nailed once again by this thing. And phooey on Donnie Bonespur Trump. He needs to go to prison. And in perusing the January 2023 issue of Scientific American, a couple of very fast things leapt out at me. One thing they say in one part here, I'm not going to read the whole tiny bit, but they note that narwhals, those are the whale-type things, those creatures that have a big horn that sticks out of the middle of their forehead, basically, and it is many feet long, which, by the way, they turn out to be not weapons, but sensory apparatus, and they sort of look like unicorns. It says here that they live for 100 years. Narwhals live for 100 years. Wow! Hadn't known that. This other little tiny bit is about research done in the Maldive Islands, and it says, researchers have identified a new type of ecosystem, which they have named the, quote, trapping zone, unquote, in the Indian Ocean. In it, swarms of tiny traveling animals get stuck among rocks and reefs, becoming easy prey for sharks and other large predators. Wow, that's interesting. I think that sort of thing can also be applied to some human activities, but we won't name anything right now. There have been, you know, a lot of stories about people getting shot all over the place and things and crime. Something that kind of really showed up for me related to these things. The police were able to arrest a guy recently who had really seemed to have gotten away. He'd shot somebody and he got away, but they caught him. And it turns out that what they did was they put the New York Police Department surveillance cops on them. And, yeah, there's something, the surveillance cops are out there. It isn't just that they watch things. There are dedicated groups of cops that are there to do that sort of thing. And the surveillance cops hunt people down using the plethora of surveillance cameras in greater New York. And it's not like, oh, we happen to find this. They go there and they're hooked into a lot of these things. And in some places, I know around where I am, you can see that there are poles where there are official police cameras aimed in every direction. And you get this in various places. And certainly they can track with that usually. And then they are hooked into other cameras, and then they go to people and look for them. This is sort of like what they wanted to do in San Francisco, was get everybody's Ring camera feeding everything to the police department. Talk about your big brother watching you. And it's kind of disturbing. On the one hand, you know, you say, well, it's good that they caught this guy who is murderous. And on the other hand, you say, but the way they did it is, they're really tracking us like crazy here. This is very like that TV program, Person of Interest, that was on some years ago, where they were showing how the machine, the big machine, was watching everybody, and everybody had a tag on them, multiple tags, and all the information as they walked down the street, and you could tell everything about them. And it's not fiction. Now, the AI isn't doing it yet. However, these cops are the surveillance police. And, you know, I said years ago that stuff like this could happen and that, unfortunately, people would welcome it. and pay for it. And it is happening. It really is happening. People say, yes, it makes us feel safer. Oh, God, it really doesn't. It does manage to get people caught, but it doesn't prevent, or else it makes it so that people look, see where the cameras are, find a blind spot, and go after you there. But the thing is, this is going on, and this is going to keep on going on, and a lot of people think it's a great thing, but a lot of people don't look at the downside of this. I don't think it's good for us to be that surveilled and to have a dedicated group of cops whose job is to track us down through surveillance. Oh, gosh. And it could get worse. There will be an AI on this in the future. Get out of the tracks! Get out of the tracks! Oh, my. Well, you can help us. You can help us at BAI to help the BAI Express to knock the cow full of bills off our tracks. Yes, at BAI we have bills and we got to deal with them. We are listener-sponsored non-commercial radio, and that means you, the listener, are the ones who sponsor all of this. And we are appealing to you to help us to do it. We need your help. How can you help us? You can call 1-212-209-2950. And that's a call center. When they pick up at the call center, tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Yes, a BAI buddy is the name we have for our sustaining membership. And what happens with that is when you become a sustaining member of WBAI, we call you a BAI buddy, you will be donating to WBAI once a month automatically. And what happens is you call them up at 1-212-209-2950 and you say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And you tell them you give them the details of your credit card or your debit card, and you tell them how much every month you would like to donate to WBAI. You can give us $5 a month, $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, more if you have it. And you tell them you want to give that much every month. And then you tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or debit card charged. And that way it will come at a convenient time for you instead of at an inconvenient time. So that's what we need folks to do. Please call 1-212-209-2950 and say you really, really, really want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. If you want to make a one-time donation, same number, 1-212-209-2950, and you can donate that way as well. And we really need folks to do this. We are behind in a lot of bills. We're behind in a lot of bills, and we got to pay these things or we're going to be in deep doo-doo, as they put it, as we have to say on the radio. We could say another word, but the FCC won't let us. 1-212-209-2950. If you call that number, you will be helping WBAI to stay on the air. We have to pay the tower rent, which is where the transmitter and antenna are. We have to pay that on a monthly basis. And between the rent itself and the utilities for the facility up there at Four Times Square, it's around $17,000 a month. That's quite a bit of money for BAI. We are not wealthy here. And so we need to pay that. It's $17,000 a month. We also are behind on our rent for the studios in Brooklyn. Oh boy. And so we need help with all of this. And then there are other regular bills, on top of which we have to pay people who work here. Some people. Pickles and I are not paid. But some people have to be paid to work here because there are jobs where you need to show up for your shift and do the work, and it can't be a thing of, I don't feel like it today. I want to go visit the circus today instead of go to work. And yeah, so if you're not getting paid, you can go see the circus. But if you want people to show up instead of seeing the circus, you gotta pay them. So we have payroll. So we have all of these bills, regular bills that any kind of business would have, that any radio station would have, and we got to pay them, but we're behind in them because we can't pay them in a timely way. And the general manager says, geez, he's getting really afraid that somebody's going to clamp down on us any time now. If they do that at the transmitter site, we're off the air, and we can't afford that. And so we need you to help us. We need your help. It's not like it would be nice if you would. We need your help. And you help us by calling 1-212-209-2950. Tell them at the call center you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Give them your card information. Tell them how much you want to donate every month. It could be $5, $10, $15, $20 or more. And say what day of the month you want your card charged. And it's as simple as that. And we hope that a whole bunch of you, if everybody listening were to go for even like the $5, although we'd like it if everybody went for the $10 or more option, that would be very, very good. It would show management we have listeners. And that's important. We need to show management that we have listeners. Not only does it help to keep Back of the Book on the air here with BAI, but also the other overnight radio programs are also in danger of people saying, look, let's just get rid of this overnight stuff. We could meet all of our bills if we rent out WBAI's signal from midnight to 6 a.m. every early morning. And they might be right. And people are proposing this. But if we can raise enough money, it will tell management, one, that there are listeners. You know, people who don't listen to the overnight program say, nobody listens to that. But you're listening to some overnight. This is still considered an overnight program. We're on in that midnight to 6 a.m. area. And so we're a part of the overnights, and we have been for decades. And we need you to help us out. We need you to tell management that there are listeners at this hour and that the listeners at this hour are willing to spend money to support this radio station. So we need you to call 1-212-209-2950 and say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and tell them how much you want to send us on a monthly basis. Please do that. It would help a lot, and we thank you if you call. And yeah, we can acknowledge you right away. We write to me if you call in a pledge. Write to me, rpm@glib.com. That's rpm@glib.com. Let me know that you pledged. Thank you. Well, that's been it for Back of the Book for this week. Coming up next is
Ecologic with Ken Gale, Donna Stein, and Sally Gellert.
We're preempted next week for a big fundraising special, but we'll be back in 2 weeks with another radio program screaming about all sorts of things. We're in midwinter now, and the sun is setting at a later time, which is a bit better. We're going to try to muddle through it all. We'll be back here in 2 weeks. Keep warm. Enjoy January as much as you can. And above all, remember what that watching out he doesn't step into a trapping zone dormouse said.
Light in your head and dead on your feet. Well, another crazy day. Drink the night away and forget about everything. This city desert makes you feel so cold. It's got so
WBAI is not only a progressive free speech radio station, but it is also your opportunity for several perks through the BAI Buddy System. Becoming a buddy is simple. Donate as little as $10 on a monthly basis, thus forming a relationship that benefits you, the listener, and us here at 99.5 FM. After becoming a buddy, you'll receive a WBAI tote bag and a membership card that enables you to enjoy discounted services at Zipcar, Bacchus French Bistro, Revolution Books, and more locations in the New York region. Simply visit give2wbai.org. That's give2wbai.org. And donate today. We are a listener-supported radio station. But as a buddy, WBAI can also support you.
WBAI accepts snowmobiles. If you have a snowmobile, we want it. We also want any extra cars, trucks, SUVs, RVs, boats, and more. Any reason is a good reason to give a vehicle to WBAI. Some do it to avoid the hassles of selling. Some like to skip the costs of repairing, while others just enjoy the good feelings of giving back to their community. But no matter your reason, donating a vehicle to WBAI is a great idea. And it's easy. Here's how it works. Simply call 866-WBAI-CAR. That's 866-922-4227. Or give online at WBAI.org/donate-your-car. Our vehicle donor support team will arrange your free pickup. When the driver arrives to tow away your great gift, you'll receive a donation receipt. Vehicle donations have the potential to drive hundreds and sometimes even thousands of dollars to WBAI. Call 866-WBAI-CAR or visit WBAI.org/donate-your-car.
Hello, I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to your stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
This is Bob Law with what I think is an important announcement going into the new year. Starting with the first Saturday, January 7th, I will be on the air for an additional hour. Now from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. A little more time, a lot more ideas and information. So join me on Saturday morning from now on for 2 hours, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. right here at 99.5 FM WBAI New York.
Funny, this radio hasn't been working very well the past few days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you.
I wonder whatever became of you.
Saturday.
All Mixed Up with Peter Beauchamp.
When?
Saturday afternoons at 6 here on WBAI.
That should be time for our favorite program.
Yes, just about time. I should have been back here a long time ago.
What would you do if I went off the air?
We kill ourselves!
Don't tell me to stop. Tell the rain not to drop. Tell me everything I'm not.